Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Is the Lord among us or not? The desert that lay between the Israelites and their goal was large and forbidding. They were bound for Canaan, the land promised by the Lord to Abraham, their ancestor. But first, they had to pass through a land unfamiliar and devoid of life. They were a nation of about 1 million people, on the move in families, clans, and tribes. They had no great stores of supplies for their journey, and there certainly were no superstores or Costco outlets along the way through the wilderness. Nor were there streams or palm-shaded oases in sight. The people were thirsty, living and traveling in a place that offered them only searing sun and choking dust. Fear and anxiety gripped their hearts, and so they cried, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The Israelites' recent history answered that question quite clearly. How had they gotten this far? By the outstretched mighty arm of the Lord, as a matter of fact. Moses had come to Egypt and confronted great Pharaoh in the name of the Lord. By God's power, that prophet had performed miracles and brought down judgments upon the Egyptians so terrible that they finally sent the slave nation of Israel away free. At the Red Sea, the Lord parted the seas to allow his people to pass through, and then he completed his judgment on the nation of Egypt and its proud king by allowing those same waters to crash down upon Pharaoh's armies that were pursuing the people of Israel. Was the Lord among his people then? Oh, yes. Had the Lord been among the people weeks earlier when their complaint had been hunger rather than thirst? Yes, the Lord had heard the bawling of his people and had given them daily bread from heaven. Manna appeared on the desert floor, like a blanket of bread-like wafers everywhere. And the Lord gave them meat to eat by sending them quail each day, carried on gusts of wind. Miraculous meals the Lord provided for his people there in the desert. Was he among them? Of course. So why then, after tasting and seeing the Lord's goodness in these ways, did Israel quarrel with Moses there in the desert and question the Lord at the place that later became called Massah and Meribah, a place of testing and quarreling? And why do we sink into fear and become discouraged when storm clouds of misfortune cast a shadow over our lives? We know that Paul was right when he wrote that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. But something inside us would rather escape suffering than experience it. It's easy for us to believe that our Lord is with us when life goes the way we hope. But when darkness descends on us, aren't we just as liable to cry, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The God that makes sense is often the one we actually believe in. He's the God who hears our prayers and answers them immediately with just what we asked for. We know he's among us when things go smoothly for us in life. We bask in his warm presence on sunny summer days. We know he loves us when we wake up feeling good in the morning, when our children live successful lives and that make us proud, and when our friends are good to us. But what about the rest of the time? What do we make of prayers that seem to go unheard and unanswered for years? How do we respond to unexpected problems in our lives? What comfort is there for us when we struggle out of bed stiff from arthritis? When our children get into trouble or our friends let us down? Has the Lord really taken his leave from us when we suffer? Or have we been relying upon a God that doesn't actually exist? The Lord who called Israel his own people rarely made sense to them. I mean, the deeds that the Lord performed for Israel were way beyond their understanding. He had just rescued them from Egyptian slavery and promised to bring them to their homeland. He fed them with manna and quail in the desert. And then, despite their quarreling and questioning, he gave them water from the rock that Moses hit with his staff. God let the Israelites suffer hardship in the wilderness, but never to destroy them, never because he had deserted them. God's purpose was to refocus their lives from the things that they could see, the things that made sense to them, to the things that they could not see, the things that God said, his good commands, and his true promises. The wilderness was the place God chose to train his people, the people of Israel, in living by faith. Our Lord is among us when the skies are blue and when they're gray. He is much better to us than any of us can ever comprehend, much wiser than we can take in, and so much more powerful than we can ever be. God is among us, blessing us with all the gifts of his creation, providing for us and sustaining us day by day. God came among us as one of us in his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't believe in any God who would spare him all pain and sorrow and suffering in life. Rather, our Father sent his son into this world to be with us in our suffering, even though the ultimate source of suffering is sin, something Jesus never had a part of. And in love, Jesus bore our sin and our suffering on the cross to free us from its terrible horror, the terrible horror of being separated from God forever in death and hell. And our God is also among us in the person of the Holy Spirit who was given to us in our baptism. The Spirit is among us, working to refocus our lives from the things that we can see, the things that make sense to us, to the things that God has told us in his word and the grace that he gives us in his sacraments. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. The Holy Spirit uses his word to help us to repent of false beliefs and selfish behaviors and to rest by faith on the love of Jesus and to live by that love, sharing it with others. The Spirit teaches us to draw on our baptism for our identity as God's forgiven and beloved children. He teaches us to take strength from the holy meal that we'll soon share together, the Lord's Supper. The Spirit trains us to live by faith in God. And God allows us at times to experience hardships personally, congregationally, and as a whole church, synod, to lead us to trust in him and to serve him faithfully. When things go wrong for us, faith says, take it to the Lord. It's a call to prayer, a call to read God's word and seek to hear his wisdom in the matter. Like Moses, we turn to God for help instead of grumbling, quarreling, and questioning. Oh, by the way, you can take those things to God too. The Psalms show us that many of the Psalms are filled with complaints to God. You can take those to him too, and he's able to straighten us out pretty well. We take our Bibles and we reread God's promises because those keep us confident that God is loving us even through our trials. Nothing can separate us from his love. We pray for grace to hallow or honor God's name in our troubles. We pray as Jesus did, that God's will, not ours, will be done. And then we can even rejoice in our sufferings because our triune God is among us, always among us, working through our sufferings for our good. Yes, the Lord is among us. No trial, no temptation ever signals God's absence. For the cross of Jesus forever testifies that he is here among us. Our Lord is among us. Forever we are loved. Forever we are saved. Forever with him we live. Therefore, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.